Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio. This is Jason Bramley. I hope everyone is having a fantastic week. We're recording this on Monday amidst the snowpocalypse 1.0 for 2019. So I want to thank everybody. Hopefully you had a safe week in the snow. Pam Strobel is with us talking about Cherish Marriage. Pam, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you're in Michigan. You guys are getting snow up there as well.
We are, yes.
It's full swing into the holiday season, I guess. Snow started, and my kids went to Grandma's house this weekend to decorate for Christmas. So.
Well, that's early.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So we're going to talk about marriage today. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a great topic.
And you guys have an event coming up as well?
Right. Well, you know, we have an event in Grand Rapids, Michigan called Cherish Marriage, and it's honoring the sacrament of marriage. And it goes back, this is our fourth year that we've held it, but it goes back to an event that my husband and I attended in Detroit, and they've been doing what they call World Marriage Day for years. And we've just been blessed by their example and decided to bring it to Grand Rapids. So, you know, Steve and I have been married 31 years. We have 7 kids. So we understand the dynamics of up and down of marriage life, and we know that it's important to take time away to celebrate and to have fun with your spouse. And some people can't do a long weekend or whatever. And a few years back, we heard on Catholic Radio here in Grand Rapids, Holy Family Radio. It's a great station. About an event happening in Detroit called World Marriage Day. And we had, you know, wanted to attend this and said, how can we do this? It's 2 hours away. But we finally were able to make that event happen on February, Valentine's Day of 2016. We went to the event not knowing anyone, 600 people at this beautiful hall, and they had a speaker, a dinner, a speaker, and then dancing. And I'm like, this is beautiful. And so we said we had to bring this back to Grand Rapids. And we'd been praying about that, about how we can have the Lord use us in ministry. We've been doing a lot of different apostolates over the years in our own parish. And it was time, God saying, you know, you got to work with marriage. And we just hadn't seen an outlet. So when we were there that day, Teresa Tamio and her husband, Deacon Dominic Pastori, were the MCs for the event. And after the talk, we went up to talk to them and say, you know, how can we bring this to Grand Rapids? And they're like, we'd be happy to help you bring this to Grand Rapids. We could talk. Just don't have it on the Sunday. Have it on a Saturday. And we said, great. So that's kind of the foundations. And World Marriage Day was actually blessed by Pope St. John Paul II in 1993. And it's like the second Sunday of February is World Marriage Day, and to help grow and spread the faith and marriage and blessing that. So we were like, okay, this is something we should bring to Grand Rapids. We couldn't always do it around the second Sunday, but we have it on, right now we've kind of focused on the first Sunday, first Saturday, excuse me, in February. And whenever that falls, so we came back, and I just wanted to know, I mean, it's, if you want to understand the dynamics of how this is happening, because I think what we really want to see is more couples doing events like this in their cities, because it's doable. It just takes a little work, and that's what's the best thing about it, is jumping in and praying and having the Lord and the Holy Spirit lead you. So what we did is we came back from this event and said, okay, we think we have a speaker. Now what could we have as a venue? And I went to a local Italian restaurant that was Catholic owners, and they had a hall that they had wedding receptions in, and said, could we do this event at your place? And sure enough, they were very excited about that. But as we also knew that we needed someone to help us. It wasn't just going to be the two of us. And we had another couple, John and Michelle David, who attended a different parish than ours and worked in pre-Canaan ministry at their parish, and they said yes to helping us coordinate this. And so all of a sudden we had a venue, a speaker, you know, kind of a leadership team, but we knew that, you know, as you look at contracts, if anyone's had a wedding reception, you know, and you're guaranteed a certain amount, we're like, whoa, this is a large amount for this, the four of us to take on. And,
yeah,
and you know, we needed to have some guarantee that it wasn't just going to fall onto us if we didn't get the people that we thought. You know, the dreaming, like, oh, Detroit could have 600, we could have at least 300, 400, 500, maybe, you know, pull it together in our diocese. And with that, we continue to pray, and the Davids worked really hard in their parish. They said, you know, I think we have some donors who can just support us with this and give us some seed money. And that was really a great premise to starting this, is having that seed money. And then from there, we were like, okay, what are the things we need? We need intercessors. And if you recall, October of 15, Saints Louis and Zelie Martin were canonized, you know, the first couple to be canonized together. And we're like, okay, Saints Louis and Zelie, you have to be praying for us. If this is meant to be in Grand Rapids, West Michigan, you need to intercede for us and make this happen. And so our plan of action was, okay, we got to meet on a regular basis. We decided, we were looking at, well, should we develop a 401c profit, nonprofit thing, or go through a parish? And John and Michelle, their parish pastor, was agreed to let us kind of coordinate the event through them. And that's what's really important to us, is that it comes through the Catholic Church, and we have, you know, the blessings from that. So, but we went to our Catholic radio station to say, hey, can you give us support for advertising? We went to the diocese and said, would you support us? Not necessarily take this on, but would you advertise it and support us? Would the bishop come and bless us? And we got all these yeses. It just kept coming. So it was such a blessing as we worked about laying this foundation, and then we're like, well, how are we going to get everybody to know? Now, the Davids and our family both homeschool, and we're a part of a co-op in our town, and so, like, there's 60 families. So all of a sudden, you got these 60, you know, some of them attend the same parish, but you have some attend different parishes. And, you know, like a high school, maybe a Catholic high school, you have families that come from different parishes to that high school, at least in our area, that is. And, you know, we've got to get people at all these different parishes talking about the event. And we were kind of deciding, what are we going to call it? You know, they called it World Marriage Day in Detroit. Should we call it a West Michigan World Marriage Day? And it just wasn't flowing as well. And so we have a gentleman in our parish who does marketing, creative marketing, and he came up with a tagline of Cherish, honoring the sacrament of marriage. And so that Cherish Marriage became our tagline. And every year we just add, you know, Cherish 2020 is coming up on February 1st, 2020, and it just all continued to fall into place. And the Holy Spirit, and like I said, St. Louis and Zelie continue to push us on. But then you kind of look at this and say, okay, we want to keep this at a price point that couples can come to. And we're like, you know, that $100 thing is really looming out there. We don't want it to be over that. So $50 a person for dinner, dancing, and the speaker seem like reasonable. But it still costs a lot if you go to a venue and ask for a meal and all this stuff. And so we still needed further support. And we went to a local foundation, a Catholic foundation, and asked if they would help us with our speaker fees. And so, because we wanted to be something special and have kind of a little different tier of speakers, not just local people.
Sure.
Not that that isn't bad, but just somebody, you know, a step above.
Sure.
And so once again, we went to them and presented our idea, and they were very supportive, and gave us the money for the speaker. So, you know, that was just key to helping us keep it at $100. So our first event, here we is working hard, and before our registration even ended, for like, we were going to have a certain date in January where the price would go up. So, you know, it was like, okay, it's $90, $94 a couple, or $95 a couple, but after this date, it goes to $100. We had already filled up with 500 people before.
Wow.
You know, and so here we're like, and we're scrambling with the venue. Like, they have a room that holds 300 people, and then you could open up some, you know, what they call those, you know, big doorways.
Yeah.
And it could be up to 500, and we're like, okay, can we want a dance floor still? How can we make this happen? And we ended up having 529 people with a waiting list on our first event. It was packed. And the Tom Yost did a beautiful job. They had shared their Intimate Graces book about the works of mercy. And it was just a powerful message, a powerful event. But we knew after that first event, we needed a bigger venue because we hated to say no to people. So, and Cherish of 18, we went to a place in Grand Rapids, which is really unique. It's called Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park. And they have indoor gardens, and they have a big venue hall to have a banquet. And then we could have the whole building to ourselves. So that's what's really unique about our event, is that people come for this event, and it's only us who are Catholic couples striving to improve our marriages at the building. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to some things where, you know, you have a hotel and you have a banquet room, but then there's all these other people in the hotel as
right.
well. You know, and so there's something unique about coming here knowing that everybody here in this building today is there to specifically work on their marriages. So we've had Bill and Rebecca Donahue came and Cherish to 2018, and we had 663 people. And last year, Damon and Melanie Owens came and spoke, and we decided that 663 was a little too much to pack. And you say, why do you have an odd number, Pam?
I was wondering if one guy brought his wife and his girlfriend, actually.
No, we decided we needed to have our priests. And any, you know, if there was a religious working in marriage ministry that a couple wanted to bring with them or someone from their parish, why not invite the priests to come? So we encourage couples to, there's like a, you can come and register as an individual and you can be placed anywhere in open seating, or you can reserve a table. And if you have a table, you can have an 11th chair put at your table for your priest. And it's just been lovely. So that's why we have an odd number.
Gotcha.
Of people.
That's a so better explanation.
Is a better explanation, isn't it? So, but anyhow, it's just been a glorious event where the, you know, certain couples say, oh, I want to bring my priest, and they get, you know, other couples together, and they form a table. And then it just, it's been such a gift for these priests who, on that evening, see all of these people hearing a great message from a great speaker on marriage. Their couples are having fun together and you know, working on marriage, because they know that families is what supports the church, you know, and continues to help us to grow. The church to grow, families to grow, keeping couples strong in their marriages is key to that. So that's what we're doing. And I've talked a lot.
No, you're fine. So who's the speaker this year?
So Dan and Amber DeMatte are our speakers for this year. And they've written a beautiful book about marriage as well, and will be sharing that with us. So we started our registrations on November 1st, and I don't know exactly the count, but I just see them coming in. We are just moving right along. And, you know, it's early for some people, but the fact I think we have already 10 tables or so that are reserved for an event that will have about 65 tables, that's a lot, you know, this early on, as people are busy and, you know, not always on top of that. But it's been a beautiful event, and we just want to see more couples say, hey, this is something we should do in our parish. It could just be in the parish, but we had bigger sites, and, you know, we invited all the parishes of our diocese to come, and so it's like 80 of them, And we have a great representation of couples from all over the diocese. It's really spectacular. And of the three events we've held so far, our bishop has come to two of them. He came to the first one and blessed us all and just been really supportive. And so it's priority for him to come and see all these couples. But, you know, he has a busy life himself. So
sure. I'm not familiar with who's the bishop up there.
David Wachowiak.
Gotcha. I'm not familiar with him.
He's he's from the Cincinnati area originally, and he's been here probably 7-8 years now, if not a little more. I always lose time, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that first planning was a lot of anxiety and concern. And has it gotten any easier over the last couple of years?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, that's always a benefit.
Yeah, we were meeting on a monthly basis, if not more, that first year, just hammering out things like, we're not marketing people, but trying to find the best fit for, you know, what we, of our information, that it looks appealing, it looks sharp, that people want to come, and getting, like I said, getting the word out. Now people know, or many people know about Cherish. I mean, obviously we've had 600 plus people attend. And the interesting thing is we have like a whole group of new people every year. 30% of our population is new every year. So it's not like it's the same people always coming back. It may not work for them or whatever. But that first year was like, how are we going to make sure that this gets out? And so our diocesan newsletter published it. They sent it to the DREs and parish staff to put in bulletins. We tried our best to get what we call the deanery coordinators, so someone in charge of each deanery to make sure that as many parishes had a direct liaison to go and say, here's our material, can you put it in around? We had postcards made and just little brochures, little posters. Can you put this in the bulletin, you know, just to get the word out? And that first year it was like, well, does the bishop support this? You know, those things like, yes, we have the bishop support, because that's really key to anything you're trying to do. We really did want to keep it lay run with the support of the pastor and the bishop, but we didn't say it had to be diocesan run. And they loved that idea. Okay, sure, you know, and that was really key. So finding those people was important, but now it just flows. You know, the word's out there. I go places. I was at a fundraising dinner for a pregnancy crisis center recently, and we're like sitting at a table with some people we didn't know, and like, have you heard about this? No, I haven't. Okay, well, let's get you on our email list, and we'll let you know what's happening. So, you know, word of mouth is definitely what brings it about. But what we found too is that we invited engaged couples to come, and that's just a real exciting thing. And one of the special things we do in the evening is have the most recently married couple and the longest married couple. We determine them by, you know, the whole standing up thing. And what a blessing that is to see that there are couples who have only been married 3 months, you know, who are there at our event. Or a couple, I think the longest we've had is 52 years married. So we have all age groups coming to this event, and it's been truly a blessing.
Well, you said 31 years and 7 kids. I mean, you should probably be on the speaker list coming up. You must have your own advice and expertise.
Well, you know, God has really given us a lot to look at and to be humbled in our years. Yeah, so we, our oldest is 28. We're really blessed because she's a novice right now, Sister Ashley Marie and the Apostles of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's an order in Connecticut, and we live in Michigan. How did that happen? I don't know, but God led her there, and we're really, you know, just it's just been a blessing. And we have two at home basically right now that are, I still homeschool. There is a senior and a sophomore. So God knows I'm getting to the end of this journey and have learned so much and been humbled many times. But Steve and I, it's been a blessing to work together on something as a couple. And I think that it's not always pretty because you don't always agree on everything.
but it's kept us focused on important things. And so we've been directors of our vacation Bible school at our parish for years. You know, for the longest time, it was because we had 7 kids who needed to go through it. And now it's become a family apostolate, because even though the kids are, you know, past the age of attending, they want to help and volunteer. And that whole spirit of volunteerism and serving others is been such a great foundation that working together as a couple provides. And yes, maybe someday God will call us to speaking, but not yet.
How about for today? Do you have any advice for new couples or engaged couples when they look at years and years, hopefully, of a happy marriage? What would your advice to them be?
Pray together. Really stay focused. My husband and I, as often as we can, go to adoration together. We have an adoration hour, so often we are attending that together. Sometimes one of us does it versus the other. But the daily prayer, and you know, sometimes it's hard for people to think, well, I got to make up something. And so we've come to just pray the daily office, a morning prayer, an evening prayer, as often as we can. My husband is an IT guy in here in town, and is at a global. His company is a global company, and so oftentimes it's not always. We're always together in the morning because he's already gone doing something. But as often as we can, that just sitting down and praying together. And one of the things that I had called about on actually was Open Line. I think you're Anne, in charge of Catholic Service, what I heard about, that I had talked about Cherish, but I also talked about how praying the rosary together as a family has been a key. So prayer is key to encouraging and building marriages, finding an apostolate or activity that you share together. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a ministry, but for us it has been, whether it was music ministry or Vacation Bible School and now this Cherish marriage, that working together as a couple in a ministry helps at least you spend certain hours of the week that you're focused on serving together. And that's, I think that's really key. And always communicating. And don't go to bed angry, right? God shows us that we are here to love each other. But Steve is not my Savior. I'm not his Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And keeping that in focus is really important. So
we are speaking with Pam Strobel on Cherish Marriage. Check out their website at cherishmarriage.net. We are going to take a quick break on Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley, Catholic Spirit Radio.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
It's time to set your faith on fire. Catholic Spirit Radio listeners are invited to attend a Faith on Fire evening event at historic St. Patrick's Church in Bloomington, November 25th from 7 to 8:30. Father Patrick Hennehan, with a true heart for the Lord, will motivate you with his inspiring presentation titled, We All Evangelize, One Beggar Telling Other Beggars Where the Food Is. Join him for this Faith on Fire event, November 25th, historic St. Patrick's on West Locust in Bloomington.
Join Jason Bramley of Catholic Conversations on a religious journey across Greece, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. This 9-night, 10-day tour begins and ends in Athens, starting with 5 nights on land, followed by a 3-night cruise. The final night is back in Athens to bring this journey to a close. For more information on this spiritual trip, call Ben McKenna, 309-922-1758. This is Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio, having a fantastic conversation with Pam Strobel on Cherish Marriage. Check out their website at cherishmarriage.net. I was also going to ask you, too, with a daughter that is a nun, my second daughter is interested in becoming a sister at some point. And what, she's young at this point, I mean, she's 9.
Right.
So she's got a few years to go, but when it comes to vocations in the family, what do you have advice there for, you know, maybe young parents that have young children and hoping to nourish those vocations?
You know, what's so important is to get them close to the Lord. And we're fortunate enough, because we homeschool, to be able to attend Mass not just on Sunday, but as often as we can. So we're not daily Mass attendance, because this doesn't always happen daily, but you know, more than one time a week to go as a family. And I just encourage that, whether you have children who are homeschooled or public schooled or private schooled, Catholic school, that, you know, making sure that the family goes together. And we're really blessed, at least in Grand Rapids, to have the opportunity to maybe make an evening Mass, a 5:15 Mass, so my husband get out of work and come together. But the Eucharist, getting our children in front of Jesus in the Eucharist, is so key to that vocation, fostering that. But it has to be something that they have the time to be quiet and listen to God. We've read a lot of saint stories growing up, and knowing them as being the children's role models. And, you know, if it were my druthers, I'd have a couple priests in my family, too, but I don't know that God calls, you know. You can only prepare and the foundation. But one of our sons, who's doesn't feel he has a call to the priesthood, he's 26 and working, and he's doing ministry in his own right with youth ministry and young adult ministry. He's like, you know, Mom, one thing you gave us in keeping the faith, because it's not just developing vocations, right? It's keeping our kids in the faith.
Sure.
That's the key initially, you know, and I think that's what families need to be focused on right now, is you found people that you trusted who were faith-filled, and you said, hey, why don't you go listen to them? Because kids don't always want to listen to Mom and Dad, especially if we come off as too pious. I mean, we have to live the life and be the example. But when it comes to them looking and developing their own faith, they have to get it from other people sometimes. And so our son said one time, so rightfully, you know, you placed us with other faith-filled people and said, hey, you know, why don't you hear what they have to say? And they excited them. You know, whether it be going to a youth group or like Franciscan University, the Steubenville conferences are just key. But you can't just go to that conference and not have foundation to come back to, because kids
sure.
still need that. But saying, hey, why don't you go with them and experience the Lord in a different way? I mean, wow, prayer and worship is not for everyone. Praise and worship is not for everyone. But it's a powerful means to touch the heart. Music really touches our hearts. My husband and I have been musicians and singing for a long time. And so that's kind of what our family does. But so getting them around young people, older people who have faith, young priests. I mean, we are very blessed in our Diocese of Grand Rapids to have a number of young priests. And it's so great, because our daughter, who has a vocation, is gone. But she was like kind of growing up and meeting all these priests who were in the seminary. And so we've got a lot of connections to younger priests. And so, hey, you know, go listen to them. Let's get you to one of their masses. And that's, to me, helping the children find the Lord and live, you know, Him in their hearts, helps them open then to the call and to living the faith. And then to saying someday, yeah, this is what I'm really called to do. And our daughter, who's 28, kind of ran from that for a while. And she had to do her own thing. And not that she was a bad child, mind you, but she was running away from the call. She's like, no, I'm going to do this. And I'm going on to college. And now I'm going to do this volunteer. And she spent a year as a Dominican volunteer after college in San Francisco. So that was like coming from Michigan, going way out to the big city.
And that was eye-opening.
Eye-opening. But she was still protected in many respects. She found a great young adult group at St. Dominic's, the Dominican-focused parish, and just went on another retreat and once again heard that call. And so, you know, came back and said, okay, this is, and it's funny because we got the call when she was in San Francisco, and Mom and Dad, can you sit down? You know, I got something I need to tell you. And we're like, okay. You never know when you send your child away what's going to happen. And I think part of my mind was like, oh, she's found a guy that she likes. You know, it's like,
in California, nothing could be worse.
Yes. And she's like, well, I just need you to know, I was on retreat this weekend, and I really feel God's calling me to the religious life. And we'd kind of known this for a long time, but she's like, yeah, He's made it clear. And I'm like, okay, it's not a guy in California. Oh, no, it's just a guy in Connecticut.
Yeah.
No, it's a guy all over. But anyhow, she came home and had to discern, you know, as a woman, Well, just as a man, too. A man can say, well, I think I'm called to the diocesan priesthood, or I'm called to an order. Okay, so what order? And so you have to look at their charisms. But unfortunately for a woman, there's not like a diocesan sisterhood, you know, a religious order in most places. Some there might be, but not in ours, not in Grand Rapids area. There are, and so it's not like you can form yourself as a sister and then come back and stay in your diocese like priests can, you know. So as a mom to a religious who says, I feel called to this order, she may never be back home again in, you know, in
sure.
my diocese,
yeah.
ministering in my diocese. And so we have to trust that that's where God really wants her. And, you know, we cared for her and brought her to the place to say, here, Lord, she's back. You know, she's yours. And what, you know what, Steve and I really don't need to worry about Ashley, Sister Ashley, I should say. She's a novice now, so Sister Ashley Murray. We don't have to worry about her. She's in good hands. And she's at Mass every day. She's in prayer every day. She's got a, you know, spiritual director who's watching out for her. It may be difficult to what we call a detach. That's what we all need to do. But when God calls you, you can't be attached. You're attached to Him, not to things, not to people, to Him. And so anyhow, she's been a great example to us of detaching from things and positions and money and power to serve God, and that's what we're trying to do with our Cherished Marriage event and even with our own lives. So I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah,
people,
absolutely. Well, so she doesn't have an iPhone anymore?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, man. I don't know what I would do.
But she can, you know, and it's so, I just share with you, I mean, this is about the detachment. She was living with a group of women in a beautiful house, Catholic women, and when she left that, she came home with like 3 van loads of stuff. She didn't have a lot of furniture, but 3 van loads of stuff at the beginning of the summer before she was to leave. And when she left to go to start her postulant year, she had 2 suitcases, a carry-on, and 2 bins that she said, can I just leave these at home, Mom? And, you know, it's like my 1-year bin and my 5-year bins. If I really discern that this is not where God's calling me, this is stuff that I just really feel I want to keep. But this was someone who had 3 van loads full of stuff. I mean, your minivan, not, you know, big. But it's like she had to get rid of clothing, personal items, books. She was an avid reader. And she just had to detach. And what a gift that was to watch her do that and say, oh, my goodness, I've lived in my house for 19 years. No, actually 21 years, I should say. You know how much stuff we accumulate after 21 years and 7 kids in a house. It's like, it's time to detach. But
it can be very liberating, that's for sure, to
yes,
purge
yes.
stuff out of the house. I think there is a benefit, even though I have loathed it in the past in moving. It's like it forces you to look at stuff and go, you know what? I'm not moving that again. We'll just leave it behind. We'll throw it away. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, even in that, when we do it, even then more so for the right reasons, that it's even more efficacious for our soul.
Exactly. And how, you know, and if I can just segue back to marriage, how we need to do that in our own lives of purging, you know, confession is important too for a couple, you know, purging of the old and starting each day anew, because God knows we're not perfect. But the longevity is the key. And that's one thing. And I made to say, what part of this, Steve and I were really discerning about what we can do with marriage. And it was just like kind of 7-8 years ago, because we started seeing couples who were in that 25-30 year marriage area when they're becoming empty nesters were now like divorcing or not as happy as they used to be, or what, you know. And I'm like, there's got to be something to stop this, or we need to get more people together to say, what's helping you stay strong, right? Can you help us stay strong and what we need to do? And that's kind of what I think the Holy Spirit led us to this event. And it's just one event, but we certainly encourage other parishes. Like, now you've got a group of people here, why don't you go back and start a once-a-month little date night thing? It doesn't have to cost much. Maybe you just bring desserts. Maybe you watch a video. That so many great podcasts and opportunities that we have now. And just spend time as a couple and share, you know, it's not all great. You know, I think this world that we live in wants to show the pretty, you know, the Facebook, everything is going great sort of thing, and it's not. And we need to share that sometimes there's struggles, but it's okay to keep working through them, you know? And because when we think everybody else is doing great and we're not doing great, then, oh, there's something must be wrong with us. Well, no, everybody struggles. And we all just need to continue to work on it and pray about it.
Yeah, I think for a lot of young folks, kids who get married, I think that there's this idea that they're in love and that they're happy and that things are always going to be like that. And as soon as that's not the case, then what, right? And how do we deal with that? And I think the idea of commitment and suffering for one another are lost on a lot of relationships these days.
And yes, absolutely. And that's what we'd have to continue to bring back in understanding, that Jesus suffered on the cross for us, and it's okay. I mean, gosh, you know, I think you have a decent-sized family, that raising kids is difficult, but God provides you with the grace you need. And, you know, when you're in the midst of little kids in diapers, you think, not sleeping, how can this get any worse? Well, wait till they become teenagers and they can drive a car and they can be out with other people that you don't always know what they're doing or where are they and you know, what are they doing with that cell phone and, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just such a toxic world out there. But God provides if you keep on your knees and putting it in his hands. And he'll give you the strength and the courage to continue on it. And there's great, joyful moments, even amongst the tears, you know. So just keep trudging away and remembering, you know, my husband will say, Steve's got on this kick now, and I think it was from this man, That Man Is You, about going to bed together at night. I don't know how many couples don't, and there are sometimes reasons why you can't, because of jobs or whatever, but make sure you're in bed together. Just that idea of that moment of talking, you know, those last moments of the day is so key. And I don't know exactly who's the gentleman who runs That Man Is You, but that's in his research. He's found that that's key to keeping married couples talking and just together and just touching, you know. I don't know. That's been a blessing for us as well, because I tend to be a night person and my husband is an early morning person. So we kind of had to come in the middle and say, okay, I'll go to bed earlier and try to wake up, you know, just find that time frame, because it doesn't always work. But it is a blessing to keeping the communication lines going. And then there's nobody there, hopefully, except the two of you who can talk about what's going on. How can we deal with this kid? Or what about that financial situation we're dealing with? And, you know, over and over again.
Yeah.
That quiet time.
Absolutely. And I think you make a good point, too, that, you know, as married couples, our life cannot become just about raising the kids. Otherwise, eventually that'll be over. And then where are we at? Are we still in the same, you know, do we still enjoy each other? Do we still have a relationship? Or was the relationship just completely about raising children and we lost each other along the way? And so spending time together,
right,
on events,
right,
like this.
Exactly. And it's just a partial, you know, just a day. It's not even a day. It's from 6 to 11. So, you know, you go to, you come and you have dinner. We come and have dinner and someone gives you this great inspirational talk. And then the venue that we have has this beautiful conservatory that's like a tropical garden. So maybe you would just want to hang out with your group of friends and talk more, or you want to go dance, or you can take a quiet stroll when it's snowing outside through this warm conservatory and you're like, oh, I'm in the beaches of Cabo San Lucas, you know, or Costa Rica with my husband, just in this quiet stroll. It's dim, you know, the lights are dim and there's, you know, little music in the background. You'll hear those birds chirping. I mean, it's just a beautiful, whatever you want to make it, you can make it at our event. And we're fortunate because we have such a venue that allows that. But I'm sure there are beautiful places around that people do this as well. So if anyone has any desire to say, you know what, maybe we could do this at our parish, our, you know, diocese, sometimes you got to have good go-getters, I must admit. But it doesn't mean you couldn't do it locally and just even just 200 people having something and a great deacon and his wife who are great speakers come and talk. But our website is cherishmarriage.net, C-H-E-R-I-S-H, marriage.net. And, you know, just going to see what we're doing. This year we've added, if I can segue to that too, that if someone wanted to spend the night at a hotel sort of nearby the venue, you can do that. So it can make it a weekend of it or just the date night. Because in Grand Rapids, you know, because February, people say, why do you have to have this in February? Well, it's because of the World Marriage Day, because it's Valentine's Day. It's to celebrate marriage, and that's why we're doing it this time of year. Plus, it's just kind of a quiet time. Sometimes it's between sports and big events. You know, we've had Christmas and Easter, and, you know, coming towards Lent. It's just a time to focus on the couple. But we'd love if anyone was interested in saying, hey, Pam, can you give us more information how we could do this in our area? I'd love to talk to anyone about that. Or if you're not too far and you wanted to join us, you know, for the day, come and spend the night, you know, see what the feel is and experience this event. I know you're in Illinois, so that's kind of a distance. But I just want to encourage people that this can be done in other places, because we, you know, follow the example of Detroit. We even talked to those people who ran the Detroit World Marriage Day event, got ideas and information from them to help us in our, you know, in creating ours. And that's what this Catholic radio is all about, right? To spread these great ideas and encourage other people.
Absolutely. So again, for folks that want more information on this event, or is your contact information on the website also?
Yes.
So they can go to cherishmarriage.net and get more information. And you guys still have tickets available for this year's event.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's $99 a couple. We've kept it under $100. So we just want, we know that we'll fill up with our West Michigan area, so it's not like I'm asking for other people to come, but if you want to get the feel and just, you know, bring it to your area, please consider that and let us know. If you're coming from a distance because you are scoping out, make sure we know about you're coming and can talk to you. But it'll be a great event. And hopefully our Bishop David Wachowiak will be coming again. And it's on his calendar, you know, but sometimes things supersede our event. But it's just great to have him there and the couples to see their bishop, because some don't get an opportunity to see the bishop at all, or just very rarely. And that's, once again, it's just a real blessing for all of us.
Well, it's it sounds like a fantastic event, and it sounds like you and your husband and the other couple that helped you out were definitely blessed with a lot of grace in getting this put together for 4 years now, so...
Yeah.
Thank you for all of that work that you're doing in Western Michigan on behalf of Catholic families. So,
well, thank you so much for letting me have the opportunity to share. I really appreciate and excited to continue this, you know, growing throughout the country. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Absolutely. Go to cherishmarriage.net to get more information. And we thank you so much for being with us. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Join Jason Bramley of Catholic Conversations on a religious journey across Greece, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. This 9-night, 10-day tour begins and ends in Athens, starting with 5 nights on land, followed by a 3-night cruise. The final night is back in Athens to bring this journey to a close. For more information on this spiritual trip, call Ben McKenna, 309-922-1758.
It's time to set your faith on fire. Catholic Spirit Radio listeners are invited to attend a Faith on Fire evening event at historic St. Patrick's Church in Bloomington, November 25th from 7 to 8:30. Father Patrick Hennehan, with a true heart for the Lord, will motivate you with his inspiring presentation titled, We All Evangelize, One Beggar Telling Other Beggars Where the Food Is. Join him for this Faith on Fire event, November 25th, historic St. Patrick's on West Locust in Bloomington.
We are back, Catholic Conversations, with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. I want to thank Pam Strobel again for being with us. Sounds like they have a great event. If you can make it or if you want to get more information, make sure you check out their website at cherishmarriage.net. Or if you're so inclined to bring one to the Peoria Diocese, look her up, get some more information, and I guess put one together. That'll save me the trip to Grand Rapids. We're going to jump into the gospel reading for this week. We're still in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will be none left, a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen, and what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have led you before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21. So I think this is a good gospel reading. I think that Jesus is, first of all, telling us that the temple will be destroyed. Obviously, that happens 30 years after his death. The temple in Jerusalem is destroyed. But I think it's also a foreshadowing of, obviously, the end times, when, again, the church will be destroyed and our faith will be left upon the teachings of the church. I think that it's important that Jesus says that we're basically going to be or potentially abandoned by all of our family and our friends and by society, that we will be persecuted on behalf of him, and that we will be called to testify to our faith. And I think that if we're not ready to testify to our faith, Jesus says that that's okay, that he will give us the grace that we need at the time in order to do so. However, I think that it's important that we do prepare ourselves to the point that we understand our faith and that we know our faith and that we are sure that we're following the one true faith of the Catholic Church, that we are in understanding of all of her teachings and her precepts so that we might live the faith as fully as possible. I think it's important to prepare ourselves in the sacraments, that we are going to communion, we're going to receive the Eucharist and the Mass, that we're going to confession ahead of time, that we're receiving the body and blood of Christ in a worthy manner so that those graces can continue to be poured out upon our soul, that we are educating our children in the faith, that we're baptizing and confirming them. And so there's all these things that I think that as the church militant on earth, we're called to be prepared for so that we can receive those graces But what we don't need to do is worry in being prepared for those final judgments, that as long as we're following the precepts of the church and we're understanding her teachings and we're living our lives by them, that God will give us the grace at the time that we need in order to overcome those who persecute us. So if they killed Jesus for preaching the gospel, what more are they going to do to us when they come for us? And I think that we continue to see bad things in the world, especially as Catholics and as Christians. We continue to see the world become more and more secular and turn more and more away from God. I don't know that I'm not one of those guys that says, oh, well, that's obviously the end of the world is coming nearer and nearer. I think that there's been really bad times in the church and in society throughout the years. That doesn't mean that it's not worse now, potentially, but I'm not always ready to just jump to that conclusion, because I think a lot of times when we live through things, we always make it seem worse than it actually is. So I would just say continue to prepare yourself in the faith, stay close to God in the sacraments and close to Christ in the sacraments, so that the Holy Spirit can shower his graces upon you and his gifts. And I think that if you do all that, then everything will work itself out the way it's supposed to. Again, I want to thank Pam Strobel for being with us talking about Cherish Marriage. Check her out at cherishmarriage.net. Have a fantastic weekend and a great holiday as we get into the holiday season. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, so I'm looking forward to that here in the next couple weeks. Everybody have a fantastic and blessed weekend. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at catholicspiritradio.com.